I mean, the Lord is our victor. You have the victory in Jesus' name. And so I'm thankful. The past grace is kind of a reservoir. It gets bigger every day. Anybody thankful for grace in the past? How many's been graced by the Lord in the past? In other words, how many here the Lord has brought you through something, came and brought you out of something? Well, here's the good news, and I'm just going to pre-preach before the rest of them get here. Then I'll preach the rest, okay? Intro. Listen, God's just warming up. Past grace is getting you ready for present grace, and future grace is on the way. God's got a plan for your life. And every minute of every day, God's got more grace. I mean, we ought to be giving him thanks and praise for all of it because it's the right response. Amen? For past grace, I just feel like I want to thank him. Anybody want to thank the Lord for past grace? Man, you don't have a clue. And maybe you do. But if you've been graced by the Lord himself, he brought you through something, it ought to bring a praise inside of you that cannot be stopped. I mean, it ought to bring a shout out of you that says, I know that if he did it in the past, I believe he'll do it again in the future. I mean, that's where confidence comes from. That's where faith comes from. We're saved by grace through faith. It's all a gift of God. Amen? It's just so simple. It's a fundamental principle. Grace comes to you by the promises for the future. Actually, from the future. He sees the future, and he's giving you grace now so you can make the future possible. We're going all the way. The Lord's going to work this out. He's going to help you. All he's saying is what he said this morning. Trust me. Believe me. Hang in there. You know, I remember one time, and Joanna reminds me all the time of this. Somebody, a lady came and preached, said, tie your guts in a knot. I think it was a lady. Melissa had a lady come preach. I forget her name, but she told the ladies, tie your guts in a knot. It's kind of graphic, but I get it. How many ever had the gut-wrenching trial that you went through and all you could do was hold on to the knot in the rope until, you know, you're at the end of it? And so God is wanting us to have future grace. It means trusting in all of his promises. It's going to be there for us. It's in Christ alone. I'm not sure what you're trusting God for. I'm not even sure what you're trusting in. But trust is major. And last week I told you that his grace is sufficient. How many still believe that? The grace of God is sufficient. And this is our third lesson in the grace of God. If they're ready, I'm ready. Have it up there. Joy should have had that going. And the screen is empty, but yours not. So your screen is not empty. So I'll just turn around, turn my back to you, preach the word. Amen? All right. And then he said to me, this continuous supply of oil. Remember now, this is the Amplified Bible. It amplifies. So the stuff in parentheses is just amplification of what God is trying to say, and that's why I love it. I think the word ought to be amplified. It ought to be illuminated to you. It ought to come alive. It ought to be explained to you, right? And so this continuous supply of oil, he's talking about the olive trees. And the first part of Zerubbabel and Zechariah chapter 4. And so Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, prince of Judah, saying, say it with me, would you? Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So it's by my spirit where the oil comes from. What are you, O great mountain of obstacles, before a Zerubbabel? Who will rebuild the temple? That's who it is, Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel. However, you can say it. Who will rebuild the temple? You will become a plain. What? Insignificant. Any mountain, this is the point, any mountain in front of you is going to be leveled. It's going to be insignificant. It's not going to make a difference in your life. It's not going to stop you from accomplishing the goals and the plans and the dreams and the visions and the purposes that God has for your life. This is a powerful scripture. And he will bring out the capstone of the new temple with loud shouts of grace, grace to it. The hands of Zerubbabel. I want you to look at this. I underlined it because I wanted to really make it emphatic. The hands of Zerubbabel. have laid the foundations of this house, and his hands will finish it. He laid the foundation, and he's going to finish it. That's God's word. And then you will know or recognize and understand fully that the Lord of hosts has sent me as a messenger to you. Also, the word of the Lord came to me saying, who with reason despises the day of small things or beginnings? For these seven eyes shall rejoice when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. And they are the eyes of the Lord which roam throughout the earth. You can go back to that, and I'll get to that in a minute. Thank you so much, bro. You're doing good up there, by the way. Good God praise for those upstairs. And, you know, it's good. I appreciate all you're doing. We just read the scripture, so we're just getting started. Buckle up. We're about to preach. This gets me. This verse right here gets me. It's grace in the Old Testament. It's a great story of Zerubbabel, and you see that he was born in Babel, okay, and Babylon, that's some of that, but he's in a rough place. He's in a rough place, and maybe you came to church today and you're in a rough place. And the Lord, I hope this scripture gives you some encouragement to know that God gives you assignments. And if God gives you an assignment, how many know he's able to complete the assignment? He's got a word for you this morning to complete it. He said last week, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, Paul said, therefore, I would rather glory in infirmities that the power of Christ might rest in me. Paul learned a secret. He learned the secret of the key of grace. The grace of God is sufficient. We learned that. Is it not? Of course it is. Of course it is. The grace of God is sufficient for whatever you go through. If you give up in the process, you give up on the grace of God. God's grace is going to take you all the way. You got to believe it. You got to trust it. Paul learned to find power in weakness through the awesome grace of God. So I don't know if anybody ever feel weak. Summertime, the end of summer, I'm feeling a little weak. I'm limping, you know, broke leg, trying to run around, do this and that. At 60, I don't do what I used to do at 30. How many of the seniors feel that? I get a discount now when I go to the restaurant. That freaks me out. I was like, no, thank you. Keep that. I want to keep my youth. You keep your discount. But it's not for wimps. And journey of Christ is not for weaklings. You may be weak in your body, in your mind, in your soul, in your strength, in your mind, in your emotions, whatever, but your weakness means his strength. You got to trade it off. You don't have to get down about it or discouraged or depressed about it. Don't believe the lies of Satan. Your weakness means his strength. His strength's going to be made perfect through your weakness. Boy, if you can reverse that, if you can really get this, then you'll understand this whole series. Contentment in rough seasons is hard to come by. And we need God's grace. And Zechariah, he's saying, the Lord's word came to me. And it's not going to be, he's going to start this foundation of this building of the temple. And the Bible said, just read it, he's going to finish it with his hands, but not with his might. Understand, he will build it, but the strength is going to come from the Lord. You understand? He will let you be involved in the process. You will be the hands and the feet. You will be the hammer and the nail. You will be the processor, but he will be the strength. His purpose is going to be accomplished through you. That's why you can't give up. You can't give up. And hopefully this series will be an encouragement to you, because sometimes when you do the work of the Lord, mountains come in your path. There's rivers, there's Red Seas, there's Jordans, there's Jerichos. Is anybody here this morning? All of these things, you just try to take one step in it, trying to accomplish the will of God in your life, especially for the kingdom, and you will fight an opposition. It's a guarantee. I mean, even if you just try to build a family. I mean, no, Satan hates families. He hates marriages. He hates churches that are healthy. He hates missions. Satan hates anything that is going to promote and build the kingdom. And God called Zerubbabel to build the temple. That means worship is going to start again. So Satan raises up an opposition because Satan hates the worship of God. And anybody who's going to involve in worship, that's why you come into service with a religious spirit, sit down on your hands and say, bless me. I mean, no, there's no threat on your life. But you walk in here and raise your hands and open your voice and say, God, I want to bless you. I want to praise you. And as hard as it is to get up today and get over here, I'm here to give you glory. Then you better put on your boxing gloves, because there's going to be a time where you're going to shout. You either shout for the pain or you shout for the grace to sustain it. Either way, we need to shout. And Zerubbabel, God is saying, hey, oh, great mountain, what are you going to do? Who are you before Zerubbabel? You shall become insignificant. You're going to be made leveled off, and he will bring it forth, the capstone, with shouts of grace, grace to your mouth. Not just grace, grace, grace. Let me get this out of the way, because I think I'm going to trip on it. I'm about to get excited in the house of the Lord. It's one thing to say grace. It's another thing to say grace, grace. Grace on top of grace. Satan, I believe in God so much that I'm going to shout grace twice. In your face, grace. God's got a word for you today. Don't let the enemy lie to you. The Lord is going to finish this off. And I love this passage. It's just incredible to me. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation, and his hands shall finish it. If the Lord gives you that kind of a word, I remember when Melissa and I first got called into the ministry, we had no idea. We'd never read the Bible. I mean, Melissa bought us all a Bible. We were reading it. I had no idea about theology or pastoring or leading. I just was just saved. How many know all you need is the grace of God? It's a good place to get started, by the way. How many know a transformation and finding God's grace and receiving Jesus? How many know that's a good place to get started? I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a relationship with Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, the one who died and saved us from our sin. And he didn't save us for us to sit on the pew. He saved us to do something for the kingdom. And so he's got a plan. And I remember us not knowing really what was going on. The Lord gave us a word. How many know if you will pray, the Lord will give you a word? Concerned about going to Bible school, concerned about going into ministry, all we knew is he called us. We couldn't deny it. We couldn't deny it. It's not like we woke up and said, Lord, we want to work for you. I was happy. The chips were rolling in. I was working for Frito-Lay. And it was much better than the job I had before, working for Borden Milk. That was sour business. Hey, at least it gets a reaction out of y'all. So we didn't make this up. God called us. And in prayer, every night for 6 months, we'd pray together. And the Lord gave us a word. It's right out of 1 Thessalonians 5:24. And it's very simple and very, God knows I need it. It's simple. I still do. I don't know why some people want to complicate everything, but the Lord has made this thing pretty simple. I started it. I'm going to finish it. That's what he's saying. And the scripture says, 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he who calls you, who also will do it. And I read that, Melissa, and I read that like, whoa, I don't even have to do nothing. Easy job. I since found out it wasn't as easy as I thought it was going to be, because we're in the ministry. And it's not ministry unless you have people. And it's not problematic unless you have people. Love every one of you, but you come with stuff, baggage, and our baggage and your baggage came together. We just have one big house full of baggage, and we're happy. But God's grace is sufficient. He said, you will build this and you will finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. And don't despise the day of small beginnings. Maybe you're feeling insignificant. Maybe you feel like God has got a plan for you, or maybe it's you know, a dream or a vision he gave you, and maybe it's been an elongated amount of time since it's come to pass. Maybe you've seen no fruit, no development of that dream. You know, how many know your desire will lead to your direction? If you desire to fulfill the dreams that God given you, how many know he's going to help you? How? Not by your might, not by your power, but by his spirit. Right? It's not nothing we're going to do. God's going to do it all. And so don't allow fear or challenges outside of you to become bigger than the God that is inside of you. And grace is all you need for every situation. Wow. Remember, it's manifold. It's the manifold grace of God. It's multifaceted, like we said last week. It's multicolored. It comes in all kinds of varieties, innumerable facets. Every vantage point reflects new insight, the graciousness of our God. How much resources does God have? Can I just share this with you? This morning, heaven is not bankrupt. I don't care what's going on in America and around the world. I don't care how much the dollar bill is worth today. I mean, oh, God has the cattle on 1,000 hills and all the potatoes underneath. He can supply your needs. Yeah, it doesn't matter. I know we have political upheaval in our country. I know that. I know it seems like it's a mess. But is God still on the throne? And God's still in charge? And if God's still in charge, how many know it's going to be all right? And the church and the pastor's job is to encourage the saints, hang in there. Don't quit. Stay the course. The Lord said it today too. So there was all these different kinds of grace, saving grace. Remember that we mentioned that. And I'll get back to Zerubbabel in a minute because it blessed me and I hope it blesses you. But saving grace, wow. Wow. You don't get good to get God. You get God, then you get good. I mean, no, it's nothing you do. It's everything he does. He sustains us. He gives us the energy. He produces that fruit. And so you're saved by faith and by his grace, not because of anything you do. And then justifying, man, our peace comes from being justified. Justification, I think of it like this. It's like you never did anything. When he wipes you clean, how many know he wipes you really clean? So when he looks at you, he's looking at the blood of Jesus, not you. If you don't have Jesus, boy, are you in trouble. Boy, am I in trouble. How many glad that he looks at us and sees Jesus? He sees Jesus covering us with his precious blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. So that's justification. Then sanctifying, we grow in grace. We'll get to it later, but wow, it's a good, look at Hebrews 13:9. It is good that the heart be established by grace. Not only does he save you, he establishes you. He plants your feet. He helps you have stick-to-itness, faithfulness, right? There's a lot of people get started, but they don't finish. And it's the church's job, the leadership job, to disciple the people to say, hey, hang in there. He will finish what he started. It is a sure thing. You can have confidence in God. He will finish what he started. And then edifying grace. I don't have time to go through it all, but look what Acts 20 said. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. He's able to build you up. This is not a cheerleading thing. I'm not a motivational speaker. I'm preaching to you the word of truth. The grace of God is able to save you, sustain you, and establish you and build you up in the most holy faith. How? Through the Spirit. It's through the Spirit, not by might, nor by power. Certainly not my might and my power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts. You know what host is? The host of angels. Amen? The heavenly host. The host of everything. I mean, the Lord's in charge of everything and everyone, everywhere. I don't care what obstacle you come against. I don't care what mountain stands in your path. How many know God's bigger than your mountain? Do I have to get this on a VeggieTale level? God is bigger than the boogeyman. You don't even know that. That's okay. Read a little bit more. Look at a video or two. But he can help you. He can. It's also observed in the fruit-producing role. Look at Colossians 1:6, and he's bringing forth fruit as it also among you since the day you heard and knew a what? The grace of God in truth. you're going to bear fruit. Ever since the day you knew and you heard of the grace of God. What a truth. That's why I said this one time, Joe, I was going to preach one sermon on grace, and I thought, man, it is so multifaceted. I think I could be in this thing for a while, like teaching a series on faith. Amen? And so it's so powerful that God is wanting to develop some stuff. But look at this in 1 Corinthians 15:10. But the grace of God, by the grace of God, I'm sorry, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. Paul speaking. But I labored more abundantly than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. It's that same thought that Paul had. He said, no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. So now the life I live by faith in the Son of God. Not in the wisdom of man. It's not my might. It's not my power. It's by his Spirit. Say, Pastor, why do we make so much about the Spirit? You can't make it without the Spirit of God. Your arm is too short. Your ears are too deaf. I can't hardly hear half of you. I'm limited in who I am. And the older I get, the more limited I get. And so do you. And when we're young, and when we're full of vinegar, we think we can do anything. But how many know the Lord will let you go a little while? Remember what he told Israel? They said, Father, we want a king like all the other nations. No, that's not a good idea. I want to be your king. Let me be theocracy. I want to be your king. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't be deceived. No, we want a king. We want a king. Okay. Hey, folks. You want a king? A king you will get. Can I tell you it's a dangerous thing to ask God for something that he didn't intend to give you? Oh, boy. And then they get a king. Mr. Arrogant himself. Tall and brave. Was he the will of God? Of course he was. But he started thinking that he was strong and powerful. And God had to humble him, just like last week he had to humble Paul. Because when God uses you, Satan says one of two things. You are no good to the kingdom, or you're the greatest thing the kingdom ever had. I mean, no, he's lying both times. Look at your neighbor and say, you're not that great. Just tell him, you're not all that. You're not all that. Now, look back and say, yeah, but I'm something. Some of you are something else. I know I'm something else. My grace is sufficient. Back to the story. The hands of Zerubbabel. The background is he's the governor of Jerusalem. He was faced with what seemed to be an impossible task to rebuild the temple. And God has spoken to his heart and told him to rebuild the temple. I want you to know it's one thing to build a temple one time, but to rebuild something is almost an impossibility. Melissa and I, this is our third church to pastor. Every church we took needed to be rebuilt. Not physically, these are beautiful facilities, but there was some brokenness, some entanglement, some confusion, you know. And that's why the first day we took the church, the second Sunday we resigned it. Because we knew there's no way in the world, not by our might, not by our power, but by his Spirit, he's going to build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And here we are 22 years later and we're still here. You can go through a worldwide pandemic and we're still here. Iran can flex their muscles and we'll still be here because we belong to the Lord our God. How many know Yahweh will prevail? This is not a racial issue. This is not a political issue. This is not an economic issue. This is a spiritual issue. Our God reigns. He's the victor over everything. Don't worry about it. I'm not from New York, but I just want to say it in New York vernacular. Don't worry about it. Maybe New Jersey. Forget it. Forget it already. Oh, that was fun. So it's one thing to have to, you know, the hardest spiritual experience you will have in your life will not be the new experience, but reviving the old. It's fun to have new experiences. Boy, it's tough to rebuild something. It's a challenge. For one, you have to undo everything that was built wrong and then go back and try to rebuild it right. It's quite a challenge. I heard this week, don't feel sorry for me and Melissa. We're having the time of our life. But 43% of pastors today are contemplating quitting. That's almost half of our pastors. And I'm saying, what in the world is going on? What's going on? Have they forgotten that God wins? That the church is not based upon me and Melissa? How many know we already lost? If it was up to us, we already lost. But how many know if it's up to the Lord and His glorious Spirit, how many know we will have a victory? And He might use you to, you know, get the slingshot out. He might help you to find five stones, and all He needed was one. He might have you to sit in the den with the lions so He can put the lion to sleep so He can get glory. Daniel didn't do nothing. Joshua didn't do nothing. What did he do? He walked around the building and he shouted, "Grace, grace!" What does Zerubbabel do? He, the word of the Lord, shout, "Grace, grace!" So what was going on? What was Zerubbabel's problem? Well, first of all, his mom and daddy named him that. Oh, poor child. But the hardest thing, refreshing and rebuilding and rekindling fires of revival, Satan hates it when God's people are renewed and refired and refined, recommitted. But Zerubbabel recognized and realized the opposition came. Here's the deal. If you're taking notes, a vision for God's work will always attract opposition. Always. If you plan to do anything for God, just get ready. And Nehemiah came with the same vision to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. The walls were in disrepair, shambles, not for a week or two, years. But God told this layperson to go and rebuild the wall. In that story, we learned a great opposition from Tobiah, the tick bite, Tishbite. But I call him tick bite. How many know there's always a tick standing around ready to make you itch or scratch or something? The tick bite. You will remember tick bite. You would have never remembered Tishbite. But there's always a Tobiah. I said, there's always somebody. In Paul's case last week, it was a man in the church. Remember that? A messenger of Satan. So Zerubbabel was faced with the same problem. The people surrounding the city were trying to do what it took to discourage the people in the city. I mean, there's some outsiders to the kingdom work that are trying to discourage what's going on in the kingdom. You know, what's worse than that is the insiders in the church that are trying to discourage what God is doing inside the church. I said, I can handle the outsider. I just ignore them. But the insider, whoa. You know, even Jesus had Judas right there on the table. But it didn't seem to affect Jesus. Jesus looked at Judas and shouted, "Grace, grace!" Judas took off. I don't know who or what is standing in your way, but the grace of God is powerful. You just got to have it as ammunition. It's like armor. It's like arrows in the quiver. Just pull two of them out. Grace, grace. Shout it twice. Be redundant. Be repetitive. When you forget it, shout it. Anytime Scripture repeats itself, it's got a point. So the people were frightening the Israelites, stealing their supplies, distracting them with their own belongings rather than the belonging things that belong to God. Oh, I don't want to stop here and preach, but I want to a little bit. They took care of their own houses, and they forgot to take care of the house of God. Big mistake. I know things are tight, but how many know you better take care of the things of God? That tithe does not belong to you. You better learn what belongs to God. The tithe belongs to the Lord. You know what else belongs to the Lord? Vengeance belongs to the Lord. He said, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and I will repay." So don't retaliate. You just tell those Tobiah the tick bite, just tell them, "Get out of the way, God." Shout, "Grace, grace, get out of my way." Don't let people disturb your spirit. Because that's where a lot of people get off, halfway to their journey. Somebody got in their way, got in their spirit, messed them up. Listen, if you haven't been hurt in the church, you haven't been in the church long enough. Because it don't take but 2 seconds, somebody's going to say something. They'll look at you crossway. Just look right back. And shout, grace, grace. This will preach in a Pentecostal church. But listen, the devil wants to discourage you. It's automatic to be selfish. And when God gives you a word, he gives enabling grace to do it all. Begin to fight again. Begin with hope. Begin to dream again. Begin to open yourself up to God. I know somebody might have hurt you, but it wasn't God. Don't let people set back what God intended to set up. And so don't let that happen. Satan uses that, and that's what was happening to Zerubbabel. That's what was happening. All the people began to forget building the temple. We're going to take care of our own house. That's okay. I hope you find an altar in your house. I hope you have a place to meet with God in your house. But in that day, the temple was the place to meet with God. And you forget your place with God, you're going to be in a bad way. I wish I'd have got an amen right there. So start shouting grace, grace over your circumstance. God will show up and God will show out. You either shout grace, grace, or fear, fear. Are you going to shout something? I told you, you're going to shout in pain, or you're going to shout in victory. Somebody's going to be pain. You're going to be screaming for the pain, or you can transfer your mind into the spirit and shout grace. I might be in the middle of it, but I got grace. You don't quit. Just keep on going. This just keep on going because 2 Timothy 1:6, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but his power and his love and his disciplined sound mind. Don't let your mind, don't lose your mind. Don't lose your head. Keep your heart. For out of your heart will flow the issues of life. It's in your heart. Your determination is all wrapped up in your heart. It's in your heart. And so God wants to do this. And don't just speak it once. Speak it twice. Every time you see that mountain come up in your mind, you shout until that mountain is removed. Your mind is something powerful. That's why Satan uses most of it against us emotionally, mentally. I've seen him knock a few Christians for a loop. Emotionally and mentally. Sometimes physically, but emotionally and mentally all the time. All the time. And if you don't have a stable, strong, sound mind, man, I've never seen a day like today. You've got to get some confidence. The devil will try to frighten you and devour you and distract you because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But he knows that if he can discourage us, then we're useless for the kingdom. We'll give up our forward movement. We'll give up on our dreams. We'll give up on our goals. We'll give up on our marriage. We'll give up on our church. We'll give up on our culture and our nation. I mean, oh, God's still in charge of the United States of America. I don't care who they get elected in November. How many know God's got the last say? God has the last say. And I've heard people go, oh, a whole new. Listen, don't be a naysayer. I hope we have revival and I hope things go well. But it's not conditioned upon the person in the White House. It's the one who's at the throne room. He's the one. I said, he's the one. He can save a devil. He can help an angel. He can do what he wants to do. My goodness, church, if this whole thing is culminated upon one person gets elected, we're in trouble. We got to stand up in faith and confidence. We got to get our confidence in something besides the government. I mean, how's that going? We're almost 250 years old. Don't look like that's going well. So Satan tries to give discouragement. It shackles our vision. If you want to do something for the Lord, it will hinder you if you're discouraged. And notice the devil uses the same tactics. I mean, haven't we been tried before? I mean, didn't we just come through a worldwide pandemic and we're still on our feet? I mean, we are God's people. Oh, let me go ahead and shout, just shout it with you. We are God's Pentecostal, prophetic people of God, Spirit-filled, not by our might, not by our power, by His Spirit. The Lord's going to build it. The Lord's going to build His church. And that's what gets me excited. And I look at last day's prophecies, and I'm not a Bible prophet or a scholar, but I do know that the red heifer's already there. The institute is there. They're training high priests. You talk about rebuilding the temple. How many know we're closer than ever? We're talking about Zerubbabel's temple way back there. How many know it's getting ready? There's going to be a regathering of the Jewish people. I've done preached myself into a sore throat. Grace, grace. I'll preach right through it. There's going to be a regathering of the Jews. It's happening already. It's happening already. And there's going to be a reinstituting of the temple. I don't know if we'll see or how much we'll see, but I get excited. Man, that's pretty close. In 2017, Melissa and I were in Israel, and the newspaper in the Jerusalem Post said, Trump will rebuild, help us rebuild the temple. He was president then. I thought, my goodness, are we talk already? Hey, first comes the talk, and then the walk. First they see it, then they say it, then they do it. It's coming to pass, and it's not by their might. I love the Jewish people. I love Israel. I do. Go Israel. But it's the God of Israel who's going to make it all happen. It's Yahweh. Oh, come on, folks. You can't give that much confidence in the people. They missed it the first time. That's why we need God. And I'm trying to spur you on to confidence. With fear, He will frighten us. With a lack of faith, a lack of belief, He knows that fear will control us. Fear will shackle us. Fear will bind us. Fear will do the same thing as religion does. It's just religion. Judaism is not going to save us. Jesus is going to save us. That's what we believe. Judaism couldn't do it. What the law couldn't do, Jesus did. Y'all going to make me preach in here? Jesus did it all. And by His grace, He will finish what He started. But fear rips joy right out of your soul. Praise God. Fear is not from God. The only fear that's from God is reverential fear, which is love, which is worship. Worshiping. You want to worship Adonai? Worship Him. Worship God Almighty. Worship Yahweh. Worship Jehovah Jireh. Worship Him. For He's the one. He's the one that's going to speak. And when He speaks, it's better than E.F. Hutton. Every knee will bow. Right now, there's a rebellious spirit in our nation, a very aggressive rebellious spirit. We don't have to put up with that. And we'll mock it, and we'll make fun of Christianity. But hey, when He comes, every knee, every king, every authority, every knee will bow. And every tongue will say Jesus is Lord. Every one of them. So all these celebrities, let them have their day. Just say, grace, grace. Grace, grace, have fun. Here's a balloon for you. Here's a balloon for your party. But how many know that day, if we don't catch this, the day of the Lord is quickly approaching. I feel a prophetic spirit coming over the house. The day of the Lord is quickly approaching. And this day of games, And lackadaisical attitude, indifference. I just show up and I show out. I come in late, I leave early. Nobody cares if I'm there. We care. We're trying to help you get ready. You better get ready. He's coming. It's like a little game of hide and seek. Only you can hide. But he will seek you. And if he finds you, he's not coming back as your Savior. The next time Jesus comes, he's coming back as a Lord, Judge, Ruler, King. And everything's going to be under his tutelage. All things under his feet. Is anybody hearing what the preacher's saying today? This is not the day for half-hearted church. This is the day to get somebody to have encouragement and not be discouraged, but have confidence that whatever we have, whatever we ask in his name, it will be so. Whew, my goodness, I feel the Holy Ghost up here. He knows fear will control us and shackle us. But faith, fear has no place in our circumstances. If you're making decisions this morning based upon fear, it's not going to accomplish much. Not for the Lord, not even for you personally. It's not going to make much. Fear is not going to make it. Not only will they try to frighten us, they'll try to steal from us. That's what they were doing. They were stealing all of God's people and their stuff. And then Zerubbabel didn't know what to do. They were getting distracted with their own personal stuff. Hey, what you think is so important right now, it won't be that important when the Lord comes. My goodness. Something about death. Death has a way of shutting everything down. When somebody dies, I don't care what job you have, you could be the president, the whole thing shuts down. You're going to a funeral. Everything shuts down. Same thing as birth. When the baby comes, everyone goes, nobody's going to work. Baby's here, right? And the death, nobody's going to work. The only family reunions we get. Because everybody stops. How many know the end is coming soon? No more playing. So fear, rip your joy right out of you. So much today that can try to stir fear like war and famine and disaster and, I don't know, economics. But they try to distract us. Don't let the wind around you distract you from the wind within you. Don't let the fire around you distract you. I've never seen a day where so much calamity. I've only served the Lord 40 years. Brother Jim, I've only served the Lord 40 years, 42. But who's counting? 42 years, I've been serving the Lord and pastoring. I've never seen every time I turn the channel on, there's a fire over here on the West Coast. There's a flood on the East Coast, in the Northern, in the Southern, in other nations, everywhere. Just turn on Convoy of Hope and you'll see disasters everywhere. Who said that? Jesus said that. You don't have to get surprised. Oh, my. Disasters everywhere? How about diverse places? Okay. And so it's all right there. You don't have to be a scholar. It's a rough road, but God's about to smooth it all out. I'm about ready to quit. I'm ready to quit. I got 2 minutes. Chrissy, come back and give him a little hope. Give him a little hope. It's happening in our day. We must be about our Father's business. Mary and Joseph went to the temple to worship, and they took little Jesus. And they didn't really, I don't know if they really knew. I think Mary knew. How many thinks Mary should have known? Gabriel told her this is the Son of the living God. But sometimes in life, we can lose the very Jesus gift that God gave us. 3 days. 3 days. Not like, really? You went 3 days? Now I get it. It was a caravan. He might have been in somebody else's wagon. Aunt Sally must have had Jesus. Aunt Sally, you don't have Jesus? Oh, no. Oh, Susie, where's Jesus? I don't know where Jesus is. Where's Jesus? I feel like I ought to preach a message. Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? I'm looking at some of these churches, and it's hard to find Jesus in the church. God speaks to Zerubbabel through the prophet Zechariah. He says, hey, you build this temple. It's going to be built by you. But not by your might, not by your power. It's guaranteed. It will be built, and it will be built with your hands. And then verse 7, who are you, O great mountain? You think you're going to stop this? It's powerful. He shall bring forth the capstone. Jesus, wow. How's he going to do it? With shouts of grace, grace to it. Verse 8, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple, and his hands will also finish it. Then you will know the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. When you start seeing the building or even the talk of building the temple, folks, you might ought to get ready. Everything's happening in the Middle East. It's a little strip of land called Israel. Keep your eyes focused there, because nothing's not going to happen that's not going to happen there. And isn't it ironic that all of the nations surrounding them are trying to get them? The smallest. But despise not the day of small beginnings. How many know Israel's small, but they may be tiny, but they are mighty. You know what I'm saying? Anybody know what I'm saying? They might be tiny, but they are mighty. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. God has a plan. And he wants to prove himself. He's going to finish what he started. There's a river of promises that are flowing in this house this morning. I feel the Holy Ghost. Would you stand with me this morning? There's a river of grace flowing in this house. It's a river. And it's flowing down the aisles, flowing down your life, into your life. You can open up your heart, receive it, shout grace, grace to your situation. Or you can be drowned in the same river. So identify the names of your mountains. Today we're going to come to the altar. We're going to be filled with confidence and faith to sustain us with amazing grace. Some of you have to name your mountain. Proclamation of grace will help you overcome the mountain. Don't talk to God about how big your mountain is. Talk to your mountain about how big your God is. Then you might have to talk to your mountain. When you speak truth to your mountain, God will reduce it to a smooth plane. He's about to smooth some things out for some of you this morning. I believe that. You have to have mountain moving grace. When a mountain might be appearing in your life, God's up to something great. It's not time to quit. It's time to get going. It's time to begin again. It's time to dream again. It's time. When God gives you a word, it's an enabling word, a gracious word. You can begin to hope again, fight again, dream again. Shout grace, grace. Don't just speak it once. Shout it twice. The altars are open. I preach my heart. I'm not sure what mountain you're facing. I'm not sure where you got to go in a hurry. Maybe you made reservations and I let you go if you have to go. I think I might choose a different restaurant, because I believe God wants to do something powerful in this house. You got a mountain in your path, that there's a river that you can't seem to cross. God is saying, speak. Speak to it. Speak to it. Every time you see it, shout to it. Grace! Grace! In desperation, cry out to God, grace! Grace! Lord, I need your grace. There's power of God in this place this morning. 125 times the Bible shouts, grace. 16 out of 21 in the New Testament. The book begins with the word grace. Sometimes it ends with the word, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. I'm done. Are you? Do you have something you want to bring to God? If you walk out of here with the same circumstances you came, that ain't nobody's fault but yours. You're going to reach the end of yourself, because it's not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of God. God's grace is the bridge between where you are and where you need to go for you to have what you need. Open your mouth and begin to shout grace over your situation. I said, God's looking for some grace shouters right here. If you want to stay in your pew, you can shout grace in your pew. But you got to get a vision of what it is that you're dealing with. We're going to worship the Lord. These altars are open. You find a place to shout grace.